Thanks for tuning in to Christian Medical and Dental Association's chapel. May the message be a blessing to you.
Well, this morning, I want to, and Rusty will bring up, there we go, what makes you you, okay? What makes you you? And I've been thinking about this for a little while, maybe over the last 90 days, because about 90 days ago, I was looking for a file, an old file in my electronic file system, and a file popped up that I worked on in 2013, and I had been asked to apply for a job, a position with an organization, and it looked intriguing. It was a ministry, and I decided, okay, I could pursue that. It looks interesting. And they attached me to the recruiter that was working with it, with the recruiting piece of it. And the first assignment that they gave me was, starting at age 5, they wanted me to write a paragraph about every year of my life and something meaningful from it. And they just wanted a simple paragraph. And I honestly thought, I'm not going to respond to any more to this job. But curiosity caught the cat, and I decided, well, I could think through that. And I went through and I did that. And eventually, I think we agreed on every 5 years or so, segments or something like that. But I came across that document. Then tomorrow, we celebrate my mother-in-law's 96th birthday, okay? And this past year has been, she's been now in assisted living here in Johnson City with us for the past 2 years. And a year ago, we were going through this time of the year, cleaning out her home up in West Virginia, getting ready to put it on the market and provide for her living down here. And one of the items that we cleaned out and that Rose kept at our home to review with her was journals. She was an avid journal writer. Every day of her life, it seems, she would write an entry in a steno pad, one of those flip pads. And these started back prior to whenever she dated her husband. Okay? And so we started looking at those, and they were just such a blessing to read through them, even just to know what the weather was that day, or what they had for dinner that day, or whatever it might be. So Rose has been reading those to her now for the last month or 60 days and going through them, and it made me think, wow, what a wonderful life. What made Betty the kind, loving person that she is today? Then on Saturday, we get to celebrate our nation's birthday, 250 years of a nation. And boy, how blessed I feel to live in this country. Our country has not always done everything well or right, but we have so much to celebrate. And I was thinking about Betty's birthday and our country's birthday, and I thought, you know, when we celebrate birthdays, we do what's right. We think about the positive things that God has blessed us with. We don't go to a birthday party and say, you know, back in 1988, you did this to me and it really offended me. No, you go and you take a story with you that celebrates what they have meant to you and your life. And so I've been thinking about this idea about what makes you you. And so I started thinking about my life, and I've had a very blessed life. I grew up in a little small rural town in western Pennsylvania. I grew up on the corner of my grandfather's farm. I played with my cousins every day. A different cousin lived on each corner of the farm. And from a very early age, we would meet in the summertime. We'd meet in the middle and play all day. And then we'd go home to either my grandparents' house for lunch or to our homes for lunch. And then we'd reconvene and play. And we had so many wonderful, wonderful pieces to our life, and I had such a great life. So I've been thinking about that and the way that that has played into my life. Now, I know in here, some of you haven't had that good of life if you go back to different stages, and I'm sorry. I'm sorry that you didn't, but God has used it to bring you to where you are today. And so I want to just walk through some different characteristics and different stages of life that God has taught me throughout my lifetime. So the first one I wanted to talk about is this idea of wonder, okay? The idea of wonder. And I think back to my early years of growing up on my grandfather's farm, and the curiosity that comes and the wonder that comes from even the small things. As I grew and began to ask the questions like every 4, 5, 6 year old asks, why, what, how, you know, and we discovered different things. And I was so blessed. My grandfather, he loved his grandchildren. There's no doubt about that. We raised, on the farm, they raised apples, peaches, nectarines, and potatoes, okay? And they raised them and sold them commercially to fruit stands, fruit markets, in different places. And it was not unusual for him to take one of the grandchildren with him whenever he would get in his truck and head to market. It was just like a prize, you know, you would line up hoping you were going to be the one that got chose that day to go with them, because you knew that it included ice cream, you knew that it included candy, and you knew it included his stories, okay? But that life and that period of life for me of being in the midst of just wonder, seeing the world with awe and openness, the innocence of a child, if you would. And this verse out of Matthew 18, 1 through 3, about that time the disciples came to Jesus and asked, "Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" Jesus called a little child to him and put the child among them. Then he said, "I tell you the truth, unless you turn from your sins and become like little children, you will never get into the kingdom of heaven." And it made me think, isn't it great, isn't it wonderful that God made it possible for us to go to heaven, to live eternity with Him in a simple way, in a very simple way, the faith of a child. That's powerful. And I've been hearing different stories. Some of you have been involved with your VBSs. I know Peyton was heavily involved in leading a VBS at her church, and others of you. And I know Jamie's children just came from a week of camp/VBS at her church, and hearing the stories about the children talking about how they're growing in their faith is just so remarkable. It's such a powerful time. I think VBS, for me, I grew up, like I said, this rural community. I have memories of going to this little red brick church alongside of a lake where my cousins would join us for VBS. I said to somebody recently, my Sunday school class or my VBS class was really made up of my cousins. It's one of those churches. It was very family, either first, second, third, fourth, or fifth cousin. I mean, we were related somehow. But everyone in there, and I remember, you know, having the Kool-Aid, drinking Kool-Aid and getting cookies. But I also remember the stories of Jesus's love and his dedication to us. So the first characteristic that I would ask you about, who taught you about wonder? I think God teaches us about wonder and about beginning our life there. So the next one that I wanted to talk about is curiosity. Curiosity. Yes, I was called Curious George a lot growing up. Okay? I was called that a lot, and it did apply to me really well. My mom and my dad would not hesitate to tell you that that description fit me very well. I want to tell you a story. When I was about 5 years old, how many of you have ever made, I think they call it hardtack candy, or the scissor candy, that Christmas time where you mix, I think it's K-Ro syrup and lots of sugar and a flavoring, and you put a concentrate in it, and it goes out in a pan, and then you cut it up, right, and break it up. And they use if you've made it, the flavoring for it comes in just these little bottles. We used to get it at the drugstore, but it's extremely potent in order to, and you only put a couple drops in. So my sister, we were making this at Christmas time, and I remember so clearly as if it was today, wondering, I wonder what that tastes like. And we were making cinnamon, okay? So I, you know, snuck in there. I was, what, 5, 6 years old, and got a little bit on my, and put it on my tongue, and it lit me up just like that. And the next thing, my face was red. I was burning up. I remember my sister holding my head under the bathtub, the faucet, to try and cool me off. It was definitely curiosity. And from there on, growing up on a farm, there's a lot of things that break down, and you can like really get into your curiosity about how different things work. My father was a very curious person. He did a lot of different things, but he was very creative and wanted to solve problems. You know, he was always thinking of a way to make something better. And so on here, I was thinking about asking your curiosities, asking questions, exploring ideas, discovering interests. And in Proverbs 15:18, it says, intelligent people are always ready to learn. Their ears are open for knowledge. And I thought, curiosity's not bad anymore. To be called Curious George all at once is not bad for us. There's a little takeaway. Curiosity is the engine of growth. So think about what taught you curiosity in your lifetime, and what's continuing to teach you that spirit of curiosity. And there's times whenever that leaves us, and we need to have that in our lives in order to continue to discover God's wonders, God's love for us, God's calling in our life, and to be a curious person. Responsibility. My sister, there's 4 in our family, and we're all 16 months apart. So my mom had 4 of us under the age of 5 at one point. So we're all real close. There's 3 boys and one sister, one girl in the family. And my sister and I are real close. I love spending time with her even today, and we talk every week, and it's a special time. But growing up, between farming and my father worked another job as well to provide for our family, we didn't have a lot of time, you know, just relaxing time or times of getting away like we do today. But we did. My dad always made it a priority. We'd go on vacation once a year, and we had one of those campers that would go on the back of a pickup truck, and you've probably seen the window up at the top. And so this is in the days whenever you were allowed to ride inside the camper, okay? My oldest brother and my sister who's older than me and myself were old enough we could ride up there, and we could lay and we could watch out the window while we were driving. And we had this intercom that would go from the camper down to the truck. And if we needed something, we could push that button and tell them what we needed. And I remember on one particular camping trip, my sister thought she was learning responsibility. Somehow, bubblegum got in my hair. Just somehow. And again, we're 6, 7 years of age, I don't, in that age bracket, and my oldest brother gets on the intercom, "Mom, George has gum in his hair," and just like you, who are parents, say things without thinking until afterwards, my mom responded real quickly and said, "I don't know how it got there, but it better not be there when we stop." My sister still tells the story today of how my older brother held my face down in the pillow and she used her baby doll brush to get it out. The problem was there was no hair left either in that spot. I had a big bald spot right back here on my hair, on my head. That day, my sister learned responsibility. I learned the hard way. I was the victim of her learning to be responsible in better ways than what maybe she chose. But taking ownership of our work, our relationships, and our choices is responsibility. Colossians 3:23, work willingly at whatever you do as though you were working for the Lord rather than for people. What teaches you responsibility? And are you still desiring to learn that? How did you learn to be a responsible person? Probably through mistakes, right? Like we learn through the mistake of how to get bubblegum out of your younger brother's hair the hard way. We probably have learned responsibility both from good experiences and bad experiences. Responsibility is where faith becomes action. Is a little takeaway for you, but to think about responsibility in your life. Resilience. This one's a little bit harder for me because, like, the story that came to my mind is later in life, I was in my mid-20s. I was working as a head of school in a Christian school, and school had let out for the day. The students were all headed home, and we got a phone call in the office that one of our students had been in an accident. And it was just around the corner. So I got in my car, and I drove over there, and I saw a terrible accident. And unfortunately, we lost a young man that day. A brother, his sister was driving, Jeremy. The family, last name is Campbell's. But over the next 18 months, just walking alongside of that family and seeing their faith to overcome the challenges that they had experienced in the losing of this 13-year-old boy taught me the spirit of resilience. You know, there's been other hard times in my life as well, as I'm sure there's been hard times in your life. Something teaches you resilience, how to bounce back, how to stand firm through transitions and trials, right? This passage, dear brothers and sisters, when troubles of any kind come your way, consider it an opportunity for great joy. Yeah, right. Yeah, when you read that, you want to say, yeah, right, count that great joy. For you know that when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow. So let it grow. For whenever your endurance is fully developed, you will be perfect and complete, needing nothing. So whenever your endurance is fully developed, I think that might be whenever I get to glory one day. I'm not sure it'll fully develop till I'm there. You will be perfect and complete, needing nothing. So resilience is trusting God when the path bends, right? When the path bends, how do we trust God? Resilience helps us to do that. Having a resilient faith that we know it's going to be okay. And now, as a father of a 27-year-old who's married and now has a child, and we see the growth spurts of a young marriage, right? And the challenges and the opportunities that happen, we can speak with confidence, it's going to be okay. You're going to get past this. There's something about living a little bit of life that helps us to know that we can be resilient, we can trust, we can just stand firm in God's provision. So, humility. This is a great one for me. There's been so many people that in my life that I'm still trying to learn this from. But whenever we moved to Charlotte, God blessed us with really close friends, Kathy and Terry. Terry became such a wonderful friend of mine and a mentor in many different ways. He was an economist, worked for Bank of America from early in his years as a professional. They have this, it's a formula, it's really great, I think. It's a formula whenever your age and your years of service equal certain amount than you can retire with full benefits. And he knew that from his early days of going to work for this organization, for Bank of America. And he decided at age 55 he was going to hit that, and that he was going to use his skills to work with Christian nonprofits. And he did. He moved and worked full-time for the school and without pay, and was just a remarkable, but he totally turned the school around in financial realms, did so, accomplished so much. Words can't describe it. But if you met Terry, he would never tell you how he did that. You know, like, it was just not important to him. It was just like, we're going to do this together. We're going to get through this together. Let's think creatively. And his ideas would always trump whatever we needed to do. But it was just his humility that taught me that it's okay to accomplish something and not share it with everybody. You know, that humility is a great power that's so important that sometimes we need to hold on to and understand better. Recognize your strengths without needing to prove it, right? Humility, it's something I have to constantly learn. Oh, people, the Lord has told you what is good, and this is what he requires of you: to do what is right, to love mercy, and walk humbly with your God. Micah 6:8. What a wonderful passage. The takeaway here: humility is strength under control, right? Humility is strength under control. And so humility was one that God had taught me through Terry, but through his word and growing. Courage. This goes back to earlier part of Rose and I's life and marriage. I think we'd been married 4 years, and we both knew that it was time for us to leave a ministry position that we were both involved in, the same organization, same ministry. And we knew that that was going to be a really hard decision for us because it was our income, it was our livelihood. We didn't live near anybody that was family that we could take in. But we decided with God's help to make that decision, and we did. We both resigned from our positions, not knowing what God was going to give us or do for us in the future. But within a couple of days, Rose had a temporary job with a law firm doing secretarial administrative work for them, and a family that we had gotten to know through a ministry we were working for within a day reached out to me and said, "Hey, George, I've got a job for you until you get another job." And I went over to his office and I did all kinds of different things. I worked in the plant with him. I worked in the office with them and did some other things God provided. Then another family reached out to me and said, "Hey, we've got a business. We go out and wash Coca-Cola semi-trucks every night. And we could put you on one of those crews in the evening if you need to make a little extra income." And so I went and washed semi-trucks with a crew of theirs in the evenings. Quite an experience. This was in Memphis, so you pulled into their lot, and you had to open your lunchbox up, your cooler up. They wanted to make sure there was no Pepsi products in there. Because they were dead serious. They wanted to make sure that if you were going to be on their site, Coca-Cola was your brand, okay? And I had been warned about that ahead of time. But through that season, God not only provided our jobs, but we came home one evening, and we were doing well. We weren't missing our rent. We weren't living like wondering where we were going to get food. We were doing well enough to get by, and God was providing. But we came home, there's like two boxes of groceries sitting on our stairs with just a really sweet note from, we don't know to this day from who, but God provided for us in different ways. And just having the courage to make decisions sometimes whenever it's difficult is something that we all have to learn. It's not about eliminating fear. It's about obeying God even when fear is present. Okay, God made us. He knows we're humans. He knows we're sinful. He knows all about that. So he knows we're going to have fear. So to say to us, get rid of your fear and then you'll be courageous. No, I don't think in spite of being fearful, be courageous. And here in Joshua 1:9, this is my command. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Joshua 1:8, and we all are familiar with that passage as well. But courage is choosing faith over comfort, right? Choosing faith over comfort. So the next one is legacy. Legacy. My father died in 2005 at the age of 70 from cancer. I can't tell you how much I've missed him over the years. But God's provided individuals like Terry that I mentioned earlier. Terry was about 10 years ahead of me or 15 years ahead of me age-wise, and he very much became that figure in my life, someone who I could confide in and seek wisdom from. Also became, he and Kathy became sort of surrogate grandparents for our son while we lived in Memphis. We spent a great deal of time with them. But legacy, my dad, you know, looking back, over his lifetime and the things that he taught me in his short years was pretty remarkable. And in each of your lives, there's somebody or events that have, are teaching you about the importance of legacy. Legacy is not what you leave behind, it's what you invest in now. Think about that. So you get a chance to write your legacy rather than for somebody else to write it for you. Right? So that comes down to those difficult times we went through life. Maybe we weren't walking with God. Maybe we weren't introduced to the gospel early in life. I was introduced to the gospel at the age of 8 and became a Christ follower at the age of 8. And at the age of 12, through youth ministries and other events in my life, I really felt like God wanted me to work in some type of ministry during my lifetime. And so I'm very blessed. Some of you don't have that legacy in your life, but you do have the power to write your legacy. And so let me encourage you to do that. Now that I am old and gray, do not abandon me, O God. Let me proclaim your power into the new generation, your mighty miracles to all who come after me. Psalm 1 and verse 9. So a great passage for us. Legacy is the intentional influence over time, right? Intentional influence over time. And then gratitude. Gratitude, seeing God's goodness in every season. And I think where I was thinking about different stories in my life, I've had a lot of people model gratitude for me. I think where that stood out the most is I, for a season, worked for an international medical mission organization, and I helped lead medical teams into Malawi and Congo and Kenya and Haiti. And whenever I would take those teams with me and I would see the healthcare professionals caring for patients, and I would see patients in their own tongue trying to express their gratitude, is what comes to my mind whenever I think about gratitude. For some reason, that those stories, time and time again, just resonate with me. So what is it that you're grateful for? Have you told that person that you're grateful for them? Have you learned the discipline of gratitude, seeing God's goodness in every season? It doesn't say just see God's goodness in the good seasons of life, but see God's goodness in both the good seasons and the bad seasons of life. You see it throughout those years. The takeaway that I put here, gratitude turns experiences into worship. Gratitude has a sense to take those experiences in life and turn them to worship. All at once you start to recognize what God was really doing in your life. Sometimes that doesn't happen 20 years later, and you look back and say, boy, we were really blessed. Look at what, I didn't even recognize how good God was being to us. Gratitude. And then finally, the last one I put down here was blessing. blessing, becoming a voice of encouragement and wisdom. Numbers 6, 24 through 26. May the Lord bless you and protect you. May the Lord smile on you and be gracious to you. May the Lord show his favor and give you peace. A very familiar passage that many of us hold on to. But blessing and learning the power of praying God's blessing over other people and over your lives, and just realizing how great God is, and the power of blessing others and asking God's hand to be upon them. Blessing is the fruit of a life walked with God, right? The takeaway is the fruit of a life walked with God.